morning, I want us to turn to Proverbs 16, and I'm going to read 15:31 first. In Proverbs 15:31, it says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." You know, it's when we begin to have that reverential fear and trust, that's when wisdom begins. But we need to have an ear to want to hear correction. And, you know, I believe that any pastor, any teacher doesn't ever, you know, sometimes we wonder, well, why are you laying this on our heart for? Well, apparently we have need of it. In Proverbs 16, now we go down to verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Go to verse 18. Because God is a God of love, but God is also a God of judgment, and he's righteous judgment, but there are some things that God does not like, and he hates it. Verse 18, pride goeth before destruction or a fall, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now I want us to go over to Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 16 of Proverbs 6. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, I'm going to be pondering these in days to come, but the first one the Lord has laid on my heart is pride. And we can go through the scripture, and you can go back to Saul, you can read about Saul, but that isn't where the Lord led me today about this. And it's like we need to be able to hear when God is correcting us. And it isn't because God is saying, "Well, you're just so proud." I don't want us to ever feel like God, he's not a God that's coming up and beating you down. And he won't have his ministers to do that either. He's doing it because he loves you. I love you and I chasten those who are my sons. He wants us to grow up in him, but he has to chasten us. If you didn't have to be corrected, that means you know everything, right? No, we don't know everything. We're learning, just like a child with his parents. He's learning to lean upon his parents. He begins to respect them. We need to have awe and reverence and respect for the word of God. That's where you're going to get your counseling. What happened to the people who don't want to be counseled? You'll find out. You can take a human and take him into a counselor. They want to do all the talking. They don't want to listen at all, but it's him who listens. Then you have the correction to go forth first. He's getting your attitude, your heart right. We need to have a good, right attitude before God. And as I go in here and I read the things that he hates, he said the one we're going to focus on is pride. And we know where that started. Isaiah 14, it talks about all the things that Lucifer said. I will be like the Most High God. I will do this and I will do that. And I will, a lot of people think I will do this or that. And they have to come to the place they see you cannot do it. That is a wonderful place to be, because that's where you're going to learn more of him. But he says, if you do, there's going to be destruction. And I like it because it said the word destruction. Because as we go through, we're going to see what God did with this man who took on the characteristics of Lucifer himself. We have a choice. Choose you. Did we have that in the word? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the gods on the other side? Or will you serve the one true God? We have to know that. People are going to ask you questions. And I tell you, one of the hardest questions I got was yesterday. So if we're seeking God and my uncle dies. If he didn't ask Jesus to come in his heart, what will happen to him? Do you have an answer? There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way, and God made it fair to every one of us. One way. We heard in Sunday school, the shepherd, he is the door. We must enter. You can't try to climb up another way. It's not going to be about your works and how good you are and how I won this or I did this. It's all about him and his grace. And as I looked on this, I thought about Lucifer when I got into Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. The word, notice what is in the beginning. The word. It was in the beginning, too, of this book. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, I want you to say something. Say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up. Okay, this is a prince in Tyrus. And I went through and I wrote down some things about this because Tyre and Sidon must be judged. God is going to judge. And it's just like the sin that was judged on the cross. I always know, we always say that no man can keep the law. But always remember, the law was not bad. What we read in the law was good. It was man who can't keep it. So there is a man that we learned about, and his name is Jesus. And he fulfilled the law's demands by one word, love. And if you want to understand what love is, you go in and you see what Christ did for every one of us. But Tyre and Sidon, as I looked, Tyre was a very major wealth city. It was a major city, and it had wealth. It had cedar. It had the color purple dye. It was very rich. It had fine linen. It had everything. Even King David, even David and Solomon, that was used to build Solomon's temple. And if when you go through, when you see those things, who really provided those things? The Lord did. There's a God of this world, but we have the true God of the heavens and of the spiritual man. And once we lay hold of that, and that's why he preaches the word to us. That's why he sent the power of the Holy Ghost, that we all would know the truth. He said, the things that I hear, those are what I'm going to speak. And it was because somebody, maybe just myself, but it's in the body of Christ. There's too much pride happening, not just at church. I'm talking about on your job. You'll know, because when someone's a new man, Wanda talked about this last week. A new man comes to her job, and we want to learn how to do the job. There are so many proud people working in facilities. They don't have the time for a new man. Something God revealed to me. They all were in the same place you are. They didn't know how to do that. There were many, I think of Jennifer, there are many who didn't know how to be a lawyer. They had to learn it, and they're learning it by the good things. They're learning it by the things they fail in. There's always things to grow. Our sister Emily, a professor, I'm sure she's still learning how to be a good professor. Teaching. We have physicians here. They have to learn. They're still learning on the job. It's a constant learning, but they must be corrected by someone up here who is the authority over and not usurp authority. Because they have an attitude. See, it's right here. He said, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, The Lord is talking. The Lord God wants to say something to you. I see it as a preacher. You get up, you just say what he says to say because the Lord God has something he wants to tell his people. Son of man, you say to him these words, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart, your heart is lifted up, Prince of Tyre. He said, your heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am of God. I sit in the seat of God. How many people sit in the seat of God and really even know what that means? He has power. He has authority. He has judgment. How many people are judging other people? We're judging, taking a place that God has not given us. He sat in the seat and he was proud and he said, I'm of God and I sit in the seat of God. I'm in the midst of the seas. I'm right in the midst of all these nations. Let me tell you, it takes one to bring down the whole thing. Just a little bit is going to spoil the whole lump. Yet thou art, listen to God, I love his words. Because when he's had to say these things to me, you are a man. You are not God. You cannot take this responsibility upon yourself. No, you can't do it. But once I know, I'm trying to change your heart by giving you God's grace, by sharing the word of God with you, correcting you. But not, he doesn't just correct you. Did your parents just go, you bad boy, you bad girl, and not tell you what was right to do? He's telling us the right ways, that our ways will please him. And our enemies will be at peace with us. It may take a while, but it'll happen. Yet you're just a man, not God. Though thou set your heart as the heart of God. You know, I think of God when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was a God of judgment. But don't forget the words he had with the father and son relationship. Oh, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen didn't say, oh, God. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we have that attitude in our heart, it's Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And if they do, they're making a wrong decision. And I really pondered that. Lord, do we really make a decision? He makes the decision, but we have a choice whether to follow. And if that's not true, why did he put that in the Word of God when he said, who do you choose? Do you choose Barabbas or do you choose Jesus? They chose Barabbas. God already knew they were going to do that. But they had a choice. This is the decision that you made. But thank God that a righteous God and Father of us all, he made the right decision. They didn't take his life from him. Jesus laid down his life. And he said, behold, he's still correcting. Thou art wiser than Daniel. You see, they knew about Daniel. He said, you're wiser than Daniel? There is no secret that they can hide from you? You see, oh, he's got all this wealth. You see, he's got all the people are in such dependence upon him. They all, the merchants come and they get their stuff. Now look what he says. With thy wisdom, with thine understanding, and we had in Sunday school, he will give you the understanding of the thing if you ask him. With wisdom, with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. You've gotten gold. You got silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased your riches. And your heart is what? Your heart is lifted up because of those riches. You see, sometimes God can't trust people with certain things. Sometimes God will give them things to show that up for whatever reason. Now watch, he tells them, yes, all these things, you're trying to take a place of God, even in vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So when you sit here and you see this prince and what he's doing, he said it was by your great wisdom. And then he goes, therefore, and what are we taught? Because of what? Go back. Because of your great wisdom and because of your power, you think you got all this. Therefore saith the Lord God, because thou hast set your heart as the heart of God, behold, this is going to happen. I will. He didn't say I might. He said I'm gonna. This is gonna happen. When God said I will, I will. And that's why I love the Abrahamic covenant. I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. They shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, and they shall defile your brightness. They are going to bring you down into the pit. And we've heard of that in Revelation, our study in prophecy. There's a pit and there's a lake of fire. They're going to be brought down to the pit. Thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. It's the same answer. If a man tries to come into heaven any other way, all that's looking him in the face is death and judgment, because he did what? Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He's rejecting what Jesus did. He's rejecting what he did on the cross. He's rejecting him for what he did in resurrection. And that to me is, that's where all our peace is. We are a new man now. But I think that anything that even in the law, if it was good, he'll give you the ability. He will bring these things out. We can never do these things. There's nothing you can do. There's not anything good in the flesh. Once we come to that place, you're going to have such peace. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. A big lesson, and that's a hard lesson. You're going to die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of seas. Will thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? Why didn't you save yourself then? You're going to say you're God, but thou shalt be a man. You're going to learn what a man is. But I tell you, when you learn what a man is, you really ponder. Who are you, God, that you would even consider man, to even think upon him? No, God, you're not a God. He says it like it is. That's why I love it. He always says with me, you're not God. In the hand of him that slayeth thee, thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of the strangers. Why? Because I've spoken it. I spoke it, saith the Lord God. Why are we able to do anything that's written in this book? Because I have written it. It is written. Are you able to overcome temptation? Yes. Because God will, he didn't say you're not going to be tempted. You will be tempted, but he will also make a way of escape for you. That is spirit, soul, body, anything that would come against you and in our thoughts, and we know it's not of God, and you begin to stay in the word, and he begins to show you, how's it going for you walking in the flesh? Even a carnal Christian, how's that going for you? Do you like it? Because in the end, there is no reward for that. None. The Laodicean church, the end of the church age, what are they going to say at that time? Just these few words. I'm going to read them. Well, I think I am. Let's see. Smyrna, Sardis, Laodicea. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write this. These things saith who? The Amen. Amen means so be it. These things saith the Amen, the faithful. Oh, we say we're faithful? No, he's faithful. That was like I said, you know, I could have done Sunday school and church. But when you come to the place that you realize you're not the one doing Sunday school and church, how did I learn that? Who gave Jean the grace to do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible study? The same God I serve. And the same Holy Ghost that will empower you, and the same grace that he will give you if you step out by faith. Yes, Lord, I will. He will do it. He'll give you, notice, he will give you what you're going to say. What if he gives it to you and you go, well, I know you gave it to me, but I sure ain't going to say all that. You see, faith without works, do you believe it? Then step out and believe God for it. Say something. But I love these words. He said, I know your works. Take it as from the Lord in these last days. I know your works. Are they really of God? Is it man or is it God? And that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. At least there's something there. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Now, how many times have you heard people say, but Lord, what is it? I did all this in your name. We read that in the word. I did this. Notice I is in the lead. I did this and I did that and I did this. Well, you got your reward then. He is to do it. And he will get the glory from it. He said, because thou sayest, you're saying these things. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. What did the Prince of Tyre say? He said the same thing. He's got so much wealth. He's got business. I mean, it's just working perfect. You say you're rich and increased with goods. And you have need of nothing? Knowest not, you are wretched. Better go back in and get the Romans chapter 1 all the way through 6 and then get into the practicality of it. Because that's Romans 7 when he gets in there even saying that about who he is. And oh, wretched man, that he's learning. Let's say he's experiencing that. Because he realizes, I can do nothing. But he didn't stop there. He said, but thank God through Christ Jesus, my Lord, who giveth the victory. He giveth everything he does. He gives it to us. He knows what we have need of. You don't have need of nothing? Knowest not, thou art wretched. You're miserable. You're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. It shows up what? Nakedness, shame. We don't have to be ashamed because of the gospel, because of the good news. We're going to be found in him, not have. And we can say those words, people. We must live those words. They become real. He does a work in our heart. And he says, I do it. It is his both to will. He wills it. He changes it. And to do. And people go, see, it's God has to do it. He is doing it by his grace that he's giving you. Think of a trial you went through. Did you actually, you know, yeah, you went through it. And you walked in it. You overcame it. How'd you do that? By God's grace. But if he didn't give the grace, you would have nothing to walk in. You would have nothing to glory in. It's him all the way. And as we talked about the man, the prince, if you keep on reading there later, maybe when you're at home, you keep going, you're going to find out, it says, and then the king of Tyre. When you have someone, the king of Tyre, all those things where I will, I'm going to do that. It's the same pride. Like, I could say, I'm going to change my kids. I'm going to change my grandkids. I'll tell you what, I walk a holy life before my kids. Really? Well, why do they see error sometimes? Because he's not finished. Maybe I'm not walking in all the light. Walk in the light I've given you. I'll give you more light. I thought of the man Daniel. Because remember, he said, what, you're wiser than Daniel? Let me tell you, Daniel could not do anything without God. But there's one thing difference in this man. He's learned. Daniel knows, if I depend on God, it's going to go perfect. If I step out in my flesh, it'll go wrong. But God is still there in his love and his mercy. He's teaching us. We don't know it all. We're learning him. We're experimenting with this. It becomes an experimental in our heart. And that's what you're going to share with people. We're not going to go out to somebody and go, oh, no, I was on drugs too, but I know it's a hard thing. Just stay on drugs, whatever. You know, have an answer. Turn to God. That's all you have to do. Turn to God. And God is the God Almighty, the God all-knowing, the God all-present. He already sees it. He's been waiting for you. Sometimes we don't even know what's in here. We don't even know. We think we do. And then God speaks his word, and boy, he just opens it up to you. But the thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It's full of grace and truth. But Daniel had the interpretation, but I tell you what, he went to Arioch and he goes, why is this such a hasty decision that all the wise men have to be killed? He didn't go, oh, look, hey, wait a minute, I'm a wise man. You kill me, you're going the wrong way. He had such wisdom. He goes to me, he said, why is a hasty decision? And he said, what's going on? And Arioch told him. And after he gets done telling him, he said, if you just give me some time, I'll get the interpretation of that dream. I'll know what the dream is and the interpretation, because I'll go to God. But I want you to remember, and it's in Daniel chapter 2. We're going to go there real quick. Daniel chapter 2. I love these words I've never seen before. See, all the other people, the magicians and all the wise men of Babylon under the god of this world. Okay, in verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth, get that? That can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, no lord, or ruler that asks such things from a magician or an astrologer or a Chaldean. It's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with the flesh. For this cause, that king got so angry and wroth, and that's when he said all the wise men, even Daniel and his fellows, they're going to be put to death. But Daniel, I love the very first word. They sought Daniel, his fellows, to be slain also, but he said, then. There's always the right time, and God knows it. Then Daniel answered, but how'd he answer? With counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, and he asked him, but if you notice, after verse 15, go to 16. After he talks to Arioch and he tells him, I'll make known the thing to Daniel. But he said, then what did Daniel do? Then Daniel went in and he desired of the king that he would just, can you just give me some time? That he would show the king that interpretation. Next verse. Then what did he do? Daniel went to his house, But notice, you know, we've been learning this about unity and your friends, your body. A friend sticks closer than a brother. You're able to tell a friend anything. Can't you tell Jesus anything? Does he make you feel like you're just, wow, I can't believe you would do that? That's not the God I serve. He said, Daniel, then he went to his house and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, those that walked with Daniel, those who were in oneness with Daniel. He lets them know. He didn't go, well, I got this. I'll just go to God and I can do it on my own. He needed his companions that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. Secret things God reveals to you, but once he shows you, it's no longer a secret. You know, he may say it's a secret just between the two of you, but sometimes those secret things, he makes a day and then of when it's all going to come out. But here's his friends, and he said, let's desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. And Daniel and his fellows, notice, together, that we should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Are we going to God? We don't have to perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved eternally. You won't perish. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in the night vision. Daniel did the first thing. He blessed the God of heaven. And when you go, everything from that point on is praise, worship, thanks. And to end on this note, let me tell you, the different ones, Saul, many people of God gave examples of. Even in their pride, what about Nebuchadnezzar? He thought he put himself there. Look what happened. God puts up kings and he puts kings down. But Daniel had this, and I love these words. In Daniel 2:48, you can read it later, the king made Daniel a great man. He gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And he made him the chief of the governors over all the wise men, over all those wise men of Babylon. In Daniel 6, notice this promotion going on to Daniel. Then this Daniel was preferred above his presidents and the princes. Why? Here's the true answer. Because he had an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Why? Because the spirit, if you'll walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, you'll have the power. You won't be overtaken. Remember, God said, let us make man in our own image. Don't you see now why Satan said, I'm going to come to rob, to cheat, to steal, to destroy, because he's angry. Stop letting him have that authority over us and just say no. Just like Israel, if they just say, no, it's our land. Watch what my God can do. He said he was a wise man. Daniel had fame as a wise man that reached these countries, and he reached the kings in their pride, felt themselves wiser. God said in verse 4 and 5, but let me tell you, wisdom and with understanding that you have gotten and these riches, God will humble us. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. This is, you are the epistles read and known of all men. Not just, oh, I'm such a forgiver. No, you're showing his forgiveness. You know who the God of this world is. But let me tell you, we know that we must go to God and come into the holiest of holies. Enter in. Because that veil's rent. You guys, that's a treasure to us. Because most people in this world and in Christendom, they don't know that. They're being taught you must go through a man, or that man is higher than you are. We go to the highest of highest and the highest power of all. God, the Almighty, the all-knowing, the all-present, the very present help in the time of need. It's there for us. And I thank the Lord that if we always, you want to know a person who is dependent and lowly and humble, I'll tell you what, those are the ones, they won't be getting up there and boasting and whatever they know or whatever. I really believe they're going to be so humble. They know where he came from. They know that they know that they know. They can't do it. He did it all for me and for you. That's why the life I now live, I'm living by the faith. He went to his Father. We're to go to our Father. When was the last time you went to someone and said, Father, forgive them? They know not what they do. And what did he say even to Saul? Why persecutest thou me? Why are you persecuting me? He was persecuting the Christians. You see, that's a whole level of having his thoughts, having his mind. We don't think like the world. We think with God's thoughts. And we ask God to make a change in our heart and in our attitude. Lord, keep me humble. Because as long as I'm humble, I have need. I won't be ashamed. Because he gives grace to the humble. He gives it because they know they need it. And they ask for it, and he gives it. Sometimes you don't even ask, and he does it. I'm just so grateful for him. And if you will now just come back up, and we'll do our last song.